Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
There was also news there recently that breakdancing has been confirmed for the Olympics 2024. And joining me now is Jason Ng and Griff Rolofsson. And Jason, if I just start with you, the breakdancing in the Olympics has been great, but you wanted to talk about the language around it, that it's not actually called breakdancing anymore.
That's an interesting point. Yeah, breakdancing is actually a term that emerged in the 1980s, which was essentially manufactured by media companies who were trying to captivate the energy of hip hop arts and really, you know, package it in this commodifiable way. And breakdancing became the term that was used by and appeared across newspapers, magazines, radios, televised broadcasts around the world. And that's what it became known as in the mainstream. But dancers, B-boys, B-girls, and everyone involved in hip-hop culture actually never used the term breakdance to describe what we do. So what we actually are doing is breaking. That's how we've tried to, you know, describe the dance, how we've communicated it. So breakdance is actually a misnomer for what we actually are doing. So there's been a lot of effort in trying to negotiate that term back, you know, after a fairly large misunderstanding. But yeah, so hopefully that sort of that opens up a bit of dialogue about where we are with our culture and like trying to, you know, communicate that properly.
And has the name been officially changed in the Olympics?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really big win. I think a lot of B-boys and B-girls who are involved in the Olympic process and getting breaking into the Olympics in the first place really fought to make sure that our culture is represented and is being represented. There are obvious concerns about how, you know, institutionalizing a dance form that has a rich history already and framing it as a sport can also often, you know, open different conversations and trigger different opinions around what's, you know, how it's being treated, is it being exploited? But I think there are a lot of people who have taken on the roles in these organizations to really try and negotiate and make sure that our culture is seen and heard as well.
And Jason, you're based in UCC, and you study breaking, and you're talking about it going into the Olympics now. Do we all, like, to get a sport like this recognized in the Olympics must be a massive thing for you guys?
Yeah, it's an incredible moment. Whether it will be truly beneficial and, you know, how it's all going to roll out is yet to be seen. You know, we've seen some really interesting success with the Youth Olympic Games, but of course there are so many, you know, opportunities that come from this. You know, it's becoming legitimized in different places where it wasn't being seen before. And, you know, there's a whole economy around this that will open up as well. So there's definitely interesting events on the horizon for B-boys and B-girls participating into the future.
And there is a Global Hip Hop Studies special issue, Breaking and the Olympics. So if anybody wants to read that to find out about it, where can they get that from?
That's available on Intellect Books. Griff and I have been working with my co-author Mary Fogarty on making sure it's open access and available. All the papers will be are written by either scholars who are dancers. Most of them are practice-led pieces. So we encourage people, if they are looking for information from around the world, we have perspectives from Philippines, South Africa, the US, Australia, and Europe, all across Europe and in Ireland and in the, you know, everywhere we really encourage people to get involved. Come to our sessions as well. We have a monthly speaker series where we get researchers to present their ideas to share with the community, and so we have this sort of multi-directional dialogue being open. So it's not just, you know, research in a bubble. We're really trying to get people involved from the community to say their piece, to have an influence on how things are being understood, and just sort of make sure that we're getting the community to understand what's happening around them. Because I think that what history has sort of told us is being disconnected and not unified in our understanding of what we're doing and where we're at makes it really difficult to sort of anticipate any problems or things into the future. So it's good to have a community of practice where people can really tap in and get involved.
And what type of academic debate happens around breaking?
A lot of it is really about how much of this process, especially if we're talking about in relation to the Olympics, is how much of our cultural identity is going to be preserved, you know, our history, our traditions and all of the practices, and what sort of ethical standard are we holding ourselves to make sure that we make sure that those things are communicated and not, I guess, lost to the institutionalization or the promise of money or commercial outcomes as well. So there's a big tension around what this institutionalization will do for breaking, or what breaking can do for this institutionalization, you know, the institutionalization of dance, sport, as part of the Olympics. So lots of sort of debate around where it's going, what benefits there are, who it benefits over who. But it's a really important discourse, and I think it's an important conversation to be had. And it's we're lucky that we're having it now ahead of, you know, ahead of Paris 2024. And people can still get involved, and we can still develop and build and make sure that if there are issues, we can iron them out. And hopefully there are people who are in roles which, you know, can make those issues heard to people who are talking about it in the IOC.
And what are the conclusions of all these discussions? Like, what core values are being treasured by the meetings?
I think for the most part, like, we really just wanted to open up a platform where researchers who are looking into this moment, you know, looking into the dance, researching the sort of socio-historic perspectives, to get feedback from people and to, like, essentially connect the communities around the world in a way that, you know, every sort of, I guess, country has their own community culture that's connected to different places through people, through media, through internet, you know. But I think a lot of the time these conversations are happening in ISO. At least bringing them together, we've really been able to at least build the fundamental part of hip-hop culture for me, which is a community. And I think that's the most important thing that's essentially come of it.
Jason, you're in Australia and Asia at the minute. What's happening with the breaking scene over there? Is it different to what's happening over here?
Yeah, I mean, I think breaking in Australia is particularly has been particularly isolated for a long time. We're sort of in you know, the South Asia Pacific, and it's fairly competitive. It's still doing, you know, we're still reprising our cultural traditions. There's a lot of people participating, but, you know, I would say in Asia there's a really higher degree of professionalization of dance. There's a sizable difference in the participating communities, especially in places like Japan and Korea. You know, if I could give a sort of comparable rough statistic that was quoted to me once, if you look at something like Australia, we may have, you know, 500-600 people, b-boys and b-girls, participating across the country, whereas in Japan it might be 25,000. The concentration of dancers in Japan is astounding, and they've got industry around them supporting them as well. They've got a very particular model which has allowed them to flourish. So it's quite different in Asia than it is in a lot of other places.
And Griff Rolofsson, you're involved with UCC Hip Hop. What's the scene like here?
Yeah, thanks for having us. So the Cypher, Jason's part of the Cypher project at UCC, which is funded by the European Research Council. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea is, you know, looking at how different hip hop cultures like breaking exist in different parts of the world. So for instance, you know, just this summer we did an event called Ubuntu, actually in September, where we brought the Cork Migrant Center together with youth from the Cabin Studio.
Yeah.
And part of that, a big part of that was dance. There weren't traditional breakers, but in the past we've had the Rebel Rockers are the crew in Cork here. The Rhythm Rebels here in Cork City. And it's the Limerockers in Limerick, which is where Toby Omoteso comes from, who's this amazing dancer in Ireland. I still don't know if he is going to represent Ireland in the Olympics, but we need to talk to him. We have some amazing dancers here that put their own spin, so to speak, on the breaking traditions, bringing them together with Irish dance traditions. Or for instance, Toby comes from a Nigerian Irish background, bringing their backgrounds into the dance. And that's one of the things that Cypher is really interested in, is how do different communities use hip hop, whether it's music or dance, around the world? How do they localize it and make it their own?
Yeah, I was just going to ask you actually about Ireland, and would we have Team Ireland in the Olympics representing breaking? Do you think that that's a possibility? Can you see it happening in 2024?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm really excited to see how it goes here. There's been some discussion. Again, Toby's the main one that I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a lot of other, let's see, Ines, and trying to remember some other folks. There's another, I think, Polish Irish dancer.
Okay.
I'm forgetting his name now, but there's some really high level, competition. And like Jace says, the challenge is going to be which places, are sort of a more cultural, small underground communities versus these large, really places where breaking is already used in a competitive environment, and what's valued. So is it sort of, is it the athleticism or is it the style? These are the discussions that they're having in terms of on these sessions that Jace is hosting, what is valued and yeah.
So like Ireland on the breaking scene, I mean, like we're considered quite, competent, I suppose, aren't we? That like we're ahead of other countries, I think, possibly above UK and Germany when it comes to breaking.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. This is in terms of the values. It's like Jace was saying, it depends on what gets valued. I don't know if we'll be up there like we were in terms of rowing in the Olympics. I don't know if we'll be gold medal level, but I think we will be in the discussion.
Yeah.
It will certainly, this cultural form from hip hop, the history that Jace is talking about, we don't want to forget that history of, Black and Latino youth who didn't have anything, who took a piece of cardboard out onto the streets or in the subways and developed this art form. And that's what's at stake when Jace talks about, what the values of this art form. We don't want it to just become something that is just, I don't want to say just athletics, but we want to remember, tell that story. That term, the breaks, it comes from mixing to the break of a disco record or a funk record, where you just loop. And that's the chance for the dancers to really do their thing.
Yeah.
And like knowing that history is an important part of this music.
And Griff, if anyone listening here wants to get involved in breaking here in Cork, where can they go? Like, can they contact you, or, is there lessons that they can take somewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. There are lessons. Ines used to have a studio. You know what? Follow us at Global Cypher on Twitter, at Global and then CIPHER. And I'll post some links up there. You can check us out there to get involved.
Fantastic. And a listener has been in touch here to say, who do you think would get gold in the Olympics 2024? Would it be Japan?
Turn that over to Jace. What do you think, Jace?
Ooh, it's a... it's hard to tell. Everyone's moving very quickly, and they're such highly skilled, highly professional dancers competing at this high level as well. So... I I would say, you know, US has a strong hand in it. Japan definitely has some front runners in the game. They took out, I believe, the Youth Olympic Games medal, or two of the Youth Olympic Games medals, which were, you know, the first of the breaking Olympic Games medals to be handed out. Some of them went to Japan, so yeah. I wouldn't be surprised to see Japan in the finals again.
Fantastic.
Is France, yeah, the host country, I think, has a strong tradition too. Is it called smurfing there, Jace?
Not sure.
Yeah, I've heard that term for b-boying is smurfing in France.
Smurfing. Okay, well, that's one that we have to keep an eye on so as well. Listen, Griff and Jason, thank you so much for joining us on that, and we'll definitely be keeping an eye out for an Ireland representative at the Olympics in 2024.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.